How many been tracking with us on this series, My Best Life? If you haven't, you can go online and do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Matter of fact, we're talking about life with the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we've been diving into, unpacking, and it's been a great, great series. As a matter of fact, let me just say this about this series. I went into this series with an open heart. I didn't want to bring tradition into it, what people had modeled before me, what I've even practiced. I went in and it's like, Holy Spirit and Word, show me exactly what it is that you want me to know. And I've gotten more light in doing this series about the Holy Spirit than I've ever have in any other time that I've ministered on it. Even though I walk with Him daily, I walk with Him moment by moment, each and every day. And hopefully it's been as enlightening to you and as encouraging to you and as empowering to you as it has been to me. And so I'm going to unpack some more today. And we started this a few weeks back, but I am concluding it today. And then I'm going to unpack another series that we're calling Absolute. And I am looking forward to that. And Absolute, talking about how to stand firm and love well in a culture of compromise. And so we're going to start that next week. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I believe God's he's taking us somewhere. One of the words that He gave me this year is to take ground. And anytime God tells us to take ground, just know that you're going to have some resistance. You're going to have some opposition that you're going to have to face. And it's just part of it. When God told the children of Israel to go into the promised land, well, it wasn't without opposition, wasn't without giants. And so we're going to have some giants. And it's been a very challenging year. But I believe by the end of the year, we're going to look back and we're going to see that we've taken some ground. Amen. And so be encouraged today. The Holy Spirit's helping us to navigate through it all. And He will empower us to do whatever we need to do to get through and gain the ground He wants us to gain this year. Amen. And so I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. In this series, we've been talking about saturated. The essence of what we've been talking about is this, is that we've been talking about the doctrine of baptisms, that there's three baptisms in Scripture. There's the baptism into the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit does. He baptizes into the body of Christ. And then there's the baptism of water, and that's believers baptizing other believers that have chosen to follow Christ. And then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And that's where our focus has been. And there's many people that have been baptized into the body of Christ, and they're following Christ, and they're doing it that way. And many people have even followed through with water baptism, but haven't followed through with baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptism, it literally means to immerse, to submerge, it means to saturate. And God wants us to be saturated in all that He is. And the reason is that we need all of God in order to do all that God has called us to do. And so I want to be saturated in Him. And so I want all that God has for you to be accomplished in your life. But I believe that you're missing out if you're not receiving also the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for being baptized in the body of Christ, that you're born again. Thank God for water baptism. There's a work of grace that takes place there, but there's another work of grace being called the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I want that for each and every one of us. And so we talked about being saturated. Saturated means when we're saturated, we're satisfied. And we unpacked that, and then we looked at saturated in love, saturated in power, saturated in gifts, saturated in fruit. And today we're going to talk about saturated with grace. Amen. Saturated with grace. Thank you, Lord. And God wants us to see that there's a grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a grace in the Holy Spirit that He wants us to experience through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says this. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I think that's a key word, in believing. You and I must believe in order to experience. You and I must believe in order for us to have all that he has for us to have. That's why I'm sharing the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word. And so let's go back and let's read it again. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? How are we going to abound in hope? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we've been looking at that. Now, when the Holy Spirit shows up, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he's not here as a spiritual hitchhiker. There's an objective. There's a mission. Last week we looked at that. He's here to lead us into all truth. As a matter of fact, he's called the Spirit of Truth. And if you know what truth does, when he reveals that truth to you, it sets you free. Free to be everything that God wants you to be. Free to do everything that God wants you to do. Amen? And I want you to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, what it says here. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So anytime we invite the Holy Spirit into our life to engage our minds, to engage our hearts, to engage our souls, to engage our lives, it's to profit. It's to make us healthier, more effective, more powerful in our lives. And so anytime we want, everything that I'm sharing with you today, it's for that purpose, is so that he could bring profit into our lives. Amen? And so I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, and I want you to see something else that is said about the Holy Spirit. It says this, how much more severe a punishment do you suppose he deserves? He who trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded the blood of the covenant that sanctified him to be common thing, and has insulted the grace or the Spirit of grace. Now, there's lots that we could say and lots that we could look at in this scripture, but the only thing that I want to point out is that he's called the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit of grace. When he shows up with grace. Grace is unmerited favor, yes. But grace is also the power of God, the ability of God, and the influence of God to carry to pass the will of God in our life. And so the Holy Spirit has come as the Spirit of grace into our life. And it's unmerited. It's not something that we deserve. So you may look at your life and think, I'm just not deserving. Well, join the club. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A matter of fact, I've said this many times. I have issues. You have issues. We all have issues. And if you think you don't have an issue, that's your issue, right? And so we have issues, all of us, in the flesh, in the flesh. In spirit, we're born again. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. Amen. And so, but I want you to see that he's the Spirit of grace. And the thing that I want you to see is that when we get saturated with the Holy Spirit, we're also getting saturated with the grace of God. And the grace, the first thing I want us to look at is that there's a praying grace that comes upon our life. A grace to pray. Thank God for the praying grace of God. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I need you all to track with me today, okay? It'll radically change your life. I'm telling you that as I've dove into this, it's just greater light, just an explosion of insight has come to me. And nothing new. It's things that I've heard, but it's become real to me. And I think that it's going to become real to you too. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want you to see that God wants to grace us for our help, to help us in our time of need. Whatever you need to, whatever you're going through in your life. Man, I want to encourage you to be here this first Wednesday. Pastor Rusty, he's going to be sharing a message and surviving a crisis or surviving crisis. And everybody goes through crisis in life. And I'm here to tell you this coupled with what he's sharing, it'll put you over. It'll put you over. And God's graced us. He's given us a grace to pray. Because when you're going through stuff, you need to know that your prayers are being not only heard, but they're being answered. Yeah. It's one thing hearing, but it's another thing having them answered in our life. And so I'm totally, personally, totally reliant on my relationship with the Lord through prayer. Amen. I am totally reliant in my relationship with the Holy Spirit in prayer. I need Him in my prayer life. And so we're going to look at, in Scripture, one of the things that I went back and read several times, and before Jesus ascended, he says that it's a must that you go and you tarry and you wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said John baptized with water, but the Holy Spirit will baptize you, or Jesus, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he says, wait on that promise. And the promise was the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit to just saturate our life. Just to engulf our life. That we would just think like him, be like him. That we would have his help. He's called the helper. He wants to help us when we're going through difficult times. And your life may be going well today, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to face some rough waters. And you're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit in your life through prayer. And he's here, ready, poised, wanting to help you and I. Amen? Yes. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now, it's very important that we understand this. He says, if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prays. Some other translations say pray in another language. And you may not realize this, but one of the benefits of many benefits that come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the ability to pray in other tongues, should you choose. It doesn't need to be forced on you. The Bible tells us that we're to desire spiritual gifts. I see people trying to be forced on them. You've got to desire it. If you'll desire it, you'll get it. Amen. You pray, you believe, it will come on you. He'll give you that. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the utterance to do that. Anyway, I don't have time to teach on all of that. I just want you to see that if you want this, it's there for you, and it's there to so that you can pray it out and you can receive the grace that you need in life. Now, notice here it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. It comes out of your spirit. It comes from within, not from up here. And so when you pray in other tongues, it comes out of your spirit. And I was looking at this not long ago, and there's many numbers out there, but there's last number I saw is that there's like over 8,000 languages in the world. Isn't that amazing? Several in here probably speak a variety of different languages, a lot of different people that speak different languages. And so I told my friend Darren a while ago, I said, you need to speak English when you're here. Because they call our parking lot car park, and they call different things. And I said, I'm trying to get the terminology down. But people understand this, is that when you get that prayer language that comes, that you can pray out of your spirit, it is a language. It is a spiritual language that you get to pray. Now, we don't see and call it very odd when we hear somebody talking in a different dialect, from a different country or a different ethnicity. We don't think it odd, but sometimes we think this is being odd because it is supernatural, it is spiritual. But we shouldn't. God's called us to be spiritual beings and to walk supernaturally. And God created us to live supernaturally. And all other tongues is this ability is an overflow of what he's done in doing in our life, that work of grace of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Along with a lot of other gifts, a lot of other works of grace in our life. That's just one of many. Okay, for some of you, this may be new information to you, but I'm here to tell you it is an integral part of my life that I've been walking out for this year. In September, it will be 37 years. And I've been walking with him and daily, every day, praying. Thank God for that prayer language. Yes. Now, there's really three areas in, I've got to scoot really fast. There's three areas in Scripture, three different types of tongues, if you will, that I've identified. Number one is private tongues. Primarily, that's what we're going to talk about today. Secondly is proof tongues, what I call proof tongues. And what proof tongues is this, is that you remember when they went up to the upper room, there's about 120 people. They got baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that there was a wind, like a rushing mighty wind that fell down from heaven, and it made this big old noise. And there were people from all dialects and all different places that came and rushed over there to see what was happening. And then Scripture tells us that they heard them speaking in other tongues, but they heard them speaking in their own languages. And so it was like, wow, this happened. And so that was one of the manifestations of God's gifts to prove that the Spirit of God had fallen or come and had and the promise had come. Let me just rephrase that. And then the third one is what we call prophecy tongues. And prophecy or prophetic tongues, it needs to be coupled with interpretation, tongues and interpretation. That can happen. It's happened in my personal walk, in my personal prayer time. It's happened in small groups. It's happened in different settings. But that's another one. So I'm going to focus in on our personal prayer language, where we pray out of our spirit. We go in and we receive what God has for us in our life. Now, Paul did say in 1 Corinthians 14:5, it's not up there, but I wish that you all spoke with other tongues. I wish you all had this language, is what he's saying, this spiritual language in your life. But I want you to see in Romans chapter 8, really quick, verse 26 through 27. Are you all tracking with me? Too much information? If so, I'll cut out some second service, okay? It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. What weaknesses? He begins to unfold this. He says, For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. He didn't say we don't know how to pray. He says, we don't know how to pray for as we ought. In other words, we got something that we're facing and we just don't know how to pray for it. And then it goes on to say, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, when we're praying out of our spirit, okay, then we're praying according to the will of God. Why? Because it's being directed by the Holy Spirit himself. He's the one that's directing it. And I'm here to tell you that when you pray, and you're praying, and I do this every day in my prayer walk, you're praying out things today that's actually going to be benefiting you in the future. There's things that you'll go through in the future that you're praying out right now. You're praying out you're praying the will of God out right now in your life. I got a phone call this week, not a phone call, I got a message this week from a lady that is a friend a sister of a friend of mine, and she was telling me about something about my friend, which he was unable to contact me, and is unable to right now. And she asked me to pray for him. And so I, in my understanding, I'm limited. I just didn't know, how do I pray? I prayed a little bit in my understanding, but instead I went ahead and I exercised this truth right here, and I began to pray in the Spirit. I began to pray out of my prayer language for this individual. And I'm just trusting that I'm praying the perfect will of God for him, and that it's all going to pan out and work out in his life. Amen. I can't tell you how many times this has happened. And in our life, that's why it's given to us. It's to help us in our time of need. There's a grace on your life to be able to do that if you want it and believe it and act on it in your life. It's made available. It doesn't need to be hard. You just received, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I want every bit of you. Saturate me. And Lord, I also would love the opportunity to be able to have this prayer language that so many millions and millions of people get to have. And let me tell you, he's not choosing, picking and choosing some, as some teach. It's made available for everybody. Paul the Apostle says, I wish that you all would pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues. Are you with me? Yes. Tracking with me? Yes. Listen, there are things that you and I are going to face that the Holy Spirit knows how to navigate us through it through prayer. And your troubles are in trouble when he's guiding you. Can I say that again? Your troubles are in trouble if the Holy Spirit is guiding you in your prayer time. And whatever you're going through, you will succeed and go over, conquer. All right, I've got lots to download in just a few minutes. The second thing I want you to see, grace working in your life, is revelation grace. A revelation grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 14, it says, but I, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It says, you haven't seen it. Remember, we were looking for a place to pioneer a church, to start a church. We're about to celebrate our anniversary, and we were looking at various places, various states, wonderful places. One place that we really enjoyed and liked, and it was a wonderful experience, was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's a beautiful place up there. And I see some of you going, yeah, especially right now, it'd probably be pretty nice. And I think we're supposed to reach 103 today, and our temperature 105 tomorrow. So it's a little warm in Texas, right? I'm sure it's a little cooler in Colorado. We didn't know. We were looking with our eyes, but eye is not seen, ear is not heard, the things he has prepared for those that love him. Yes. That's what it says here. But thank God, let's go to the next verse. It says this. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, revelation comes by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. It says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? We're connected, spirit to spirit. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal it to us. Is that it? Okay. Now we have, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and then one more. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit's help to reveal to us what it is that God's freely given to us. He's given us all things that we need that pertain to life and godliness. Yes. Not one thing got left out in redemption. Yes. Everything for every person has been given, but we've got to, in order for us to believe it, we need it revealed to us so that we could receive it. Yes. And the natural man talks about our own understanding, our carnal thinking. We don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. We, a matter of fact, maybe push back a little bit. How can God do that for me? I don't understand the grace of God. I do not understand the grace of God. Why would he love me so much and do what he did for me? God that created everything, the galaxies and the stars and all everything, yet he loved me so much that he came and he sacrificed his life so that I could be saved and be reconciled to him, so that I could be right and righteous before him, and that he no longer holds those to my account any longer, that it's been wiped clean, that I'm free today to live for him. I don't understand that. Why would God love me so much to do that? I have no idea, but I know it's real to me, revealed by the Spirit of God inside of me. Amen. And so what I want to do right now is I'm going to just unfold some things. Gosh, I'm out of time. Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How are we led? We are led by our Spirit. And then it goes on to say in Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does he bear witness? With our mind? Our understanding? No, with our spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We communicate and we walk with God spirit to spirit. And so we've got to realize that we are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. You're not the body that gives you so much trouble every day. You're the spirit, the born-again spirit. When you've received Christ in your life, you've been born into the body of Christ. That's who you really are. You're righteous before God. Amen? And that's where you need to start learning how to communicate with God. Praying in the Spirit allows you to be more in tune with him and more sensitive to him in your daily walk with him. Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner parts or depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. In other words, it's in your spirit that God begins to enlighten you. He gives you revelation. And then Psalm 18:28, it says, for you will light my lamp. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. Where does he do that? In our spirit. He gives us that. So, 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now notice again, when you speak in other tongues, you speak in that language, that heavenly language, that spiritual language. You're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. And other people won't understand, but God understands. And the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, you speak mysteries. It's mystery to you, but it can be revealed to you. Yes. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard the things that he has prepared for those that love him, but by his Spirit he has revealed it to us. And in 1 Corinthians 14:13-15, it says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and then I will also pray with the understanding. It will begin to flow out of you from in here. There's been times where I'm preaching, I'm speaking, I'm thinking, wow, that's good. It came from in here, not from here. It came out of my spirit. And then it goes on to say, I will sing with the Spirit, and then I will sing with the understanding also. I wish I could unpack it all for you today. I want to encourage you, go back and just dive into 1 Corinthians 14. Go into Romans chapter 8. Go into these different scriptures that will share with you and show you how the Holy Spirit wants to. He doesn't want you in the dark. He wants you in the know. Yeah. He wants you to know what he has for you. Third thing I want to share with you is that there's edifying grace. Edifying. The word edify means to build up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 through 4, it says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification. The word edification means to build up, exhortation and comfort to men. And get this, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. And so when we're speaking in our prayer language or praying in our prayer language, it builds us up. It charges us. It keeps us edified. And when you're going through a crisis, you need to be edified. When you're going through some situation that is beyond yourself, you need to be edified and you need to be strengthened. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, it says, beloved, building yourselves a most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And I could give illustration after illustration after illustration. But what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Are you saturated in him? Have you been born into the body of Christ? Have you been baptized into his body? Have you been baptized with water? And have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? There's benefits that we could just keep on unfolding and unfolding and unfolding and unfolding, and it's never ending. But I'm here to tell you, he has a wonderful, wonderful life for you. Your best life is with a life with the Holy Spirit. And if you and I will understand this and pursue it, desire spiritual gifts, if we'll desire what the Holy Spirit desires, he's here to reveal Jesus to us. He's here to reveal truth to us. He's no one to fear. He's someone to embrace. He's a person. He's personal. And he wants to be personal to you and I. Amen? Amen. So here in a moment, we're going to make opportunity for you. If you need prayer, we want to make opportunity. If you want that in your life, baptism with the Holy Spirit, there's never no pressure, ever. It's desire it. Lord, I want that. That's what happened to me. I just said, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And he was so faithful to respond. Amen? Amen.